Welcome to the Richard Serrett Show. On this episode, I'm ripping the veil off a nation spiraling into moral decay. Canada's war on faith burns hotter than ever. American pastor Sean Foyt smeared and silenced his worship tour, gutted by venomous anti-Christian bigotry. Churches fined, smoke bombs hurled, and hymns branded as crimes. Then, Christian teachers Matt and Nicole Alexander fired, not for failing students, but for daring to hold fast to their faith against the altar of gender ideology. Their crime? Refusing to bow. Their punishment? Careers and lives obliterated. But it's not just Canada. In Cincinnati, a mob's savage beating of a white couple is cheered by a councilwoman who gloats they begged for it, exposing a rotting ideology that sanctifies violence and divides us by skin. And now, a bombshell. 22 Canadian diplomats fired for fraud, theft, and kickbacks. Yet, no cuffs, no names, just a quiet cover-up. From silenced pastors to bloodied streets to corrupt elites, the pattern is undeniable. A civilization teetering on the edge of collapse. Is this the Canada you know, or the one we've lost? Coming up next, I expose the Inquisition, confront the betrayal, and ask, will we fight for our soul or surrender to the abyss? The Richard Serrett Show, off and running for Wednesday, July 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Facta non verba.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
Stop repeating, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you
seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption. This is The Richard Serrett Show.
Canada's war on faith is a blazing inferno. And the latest to be scorched is American pastor and musician Sean Foyt, smeared, canceled, and hunted by a venomous anti-Christian bigotry that's poisoning the heart of our nation. This isn't a mere spat over permits or protests. It's a vicious crusade to crush the right to believe, to worship, to stand as a Christian in a public square that's been transformed into a slaughterhouse for faith. Foyt's Revive in 25 tour was gutted in Eastern Canada, with six venues slamming the doors shut, cowering behind safety concerns, after activists orchestrated a witch hunt over his unyielding Christian convictions and conservative stance. Montreal slapped a $2,500 fine on a church for daring to host him, while protesters hurled smoke bombs into the sanctuaries, desecrating a house of worship. This is Canada today, where singing hymns is a crime, and Christians are branded as pariahs. Then there's Matt and Nicole Alexander, a husband and wife teaching duo from Cobden, Ontario, whose lives were obliterated by the Renfrew County District School Board, not for failing their students, but for refusing to prostrate themselves before the altar of gender ideology. These are educators with over two decades of service, impeccable records, and not a whisper of complaint against them. Yet, because they wouldn't celebrate and affirm LGBTQ issues with the fervor demanded by the board, they were cast into the void. Matt was suspended after his son Josh had the audacity to challenge a policy allowing biological males into girls' washrooms. Nicole faced retribution for quietly moving a pride poster from her kindergarten classroom door. By October 2023, both were fired, their careers reduced to rubble for the unpardonable sin of their faith. This is no random act. It's a calculated purge. From Foyt's silenced songs to Alexander's shattered livelihoods, Canada's institutions are broadcasting a chilling edict. faith is forbidden. The school board's dismissal letters accused the Alexanders of failing to support LGBTQ inclusion efforts. But as John Carpe of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom stated, nobody has alleged that either Matt or Nicole Alexander mistreated a student. They treated all with dignity, yet their Christian beliefs were deemed a contagion. Foyt faced the same script. Branded a MAGA superstar and Christian nationalist by his detractors, his gospel message was warped into a political scarecrow to justify censorship and fines. This is bigger than canceled concerts or sacked teachers. It's a cultural inquisition, a relentless campaign to eradicate biblical convictions from our midst. Foyt's words on X cut like a blade. If I had shown up with purple hair and a dress, claiming to be a woman, the government wouldn't have said a word. But to publicly profess deeply held Christian beliefs is to be labeled an extremist. He's dead right. Canada's ruling class embraces every creed, except the one that forged this nation's moral foundation. The Alexanders are striking back, launching a human rights claim and a labor complaint, arguing that their charter rights were trampled. Foyt, defiant, vows to keep preaching, even as venues collapse and police encircle him. But why must they fight for scraps of freedom in a land that once promised liberty? Matt Alexander's lament pierces the soul. He said, it feels like there's no space for Christians to be Christian in the education system. He's not mistaken. When a kindergarten teacher can't move a poster without losing her livelihood, when a pastor can't worship without being fined, we're not free. We're captives in a secular dystopia that demands absolute submission. This isn't the Canada our ancestors bled for, a nation where faith was a bedrock, not a blemish. It's a Canada where inclusion means banishing dissenters. History screams its warnings. When a society turns on its faithful, when it trades conscience for conformity, it's marching towards despotism. The Romans fed Christians to lions. The Soviets sent them to gulags. We're not there yet, but the path is clear, and the shadows are lengthening. And so we stand at a precipice, Canada. The Alexanders and Foyts are not just victims, they're harbingers of a darker dawn. If we let this bigotry metastasize, if we allow faith to be criminalized, we're not just betraying them, we're surrendering our own souls. The question isn't whether we'll fight. It's whether we'll survive the silence that follows if we don't. This isn't about one couple, one singer, or one church. It's about a nation teetering on the edge of moral oblivion. If we let this fire consume us, there'll be nothing left but ashes where freedom once stood. Cling to your faith, brace for the storm, and pray we're not too late to save our country's soul.
Keine zwei Trader sind gleich. Warum solltest du also eine starre Trading-Plattform wählen, die keine Flexibilität erlaubt? Kraken Pro ist für dich gemacht, nach deinen Vorstellungen. Drag, Drop, vergrößere und erweitere jeden Pixel. Lege mit vorgefertigten Layouts los und verschiebe Module und Widgets, wie es dir passt. Besuche pro.kraken.com. Trading Crypto, ohne Kompromisse. Keine Anlageberatung, Crypto Trading birgt ein Verlustrisiko. Paywood Europe Solutions Limited, tätig als Kraken, ist durch die Central Bank of Ireland autorisiert.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus, aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
A mob in Cincinnati, Ohio on July 26 unleashed a barbaric assault at 4th and Elm Streets, pummeling a white couple into the pavement, a man battered, a woman knocked unconscious, her skull cracked on concrete. Viral videos show the savagery, a mostly black mob, kicking and punching while hundreds gawked, phones out, only one calling 911. Five suspects are charged. Three, Dakira Vernon, 24, Montianez Merriweather, 34, and Jermaine Matthews, 39, facing felonious assault and aggravated riot counts. Prosecutor Connie Pillich promised to throw the book at them. But the real outrage is Cincinnati Councilwoman Victoria Parks, who took to Facebook to gloat, "They begged for that beatdown. I'm grateful for the whole story." X exploded with fury, demanding her resignation or arrest, branding her words racist and vile. Police Chief Teresa Thietke, already sued by four white officers for anti-white bias, whined that social media lacks context and hampers investigations. The FBI is now digging as Cincinnati grapples with a 25% surge in violent crime. Parks, set to retire this year, slinks away, her legacy a stain of venom. This isn't a one-off. It's a snapshot of a civilization rotting at its core. Victoria Parks isn't just a rogue politician. She's the face of a toxic ideology that's infected our cities, from Cincinnati to Calgary, where elites applaud bloodshed if it targets the right group. A black councilwoman cheering a mob's attack on white victims isn't a gaffe. It's a declaration of war on decency, a rallying cry for division. Thietke's no better, dodging accountability while her department's accused of rigging promotions against white men. A 2021 federal ruling banned race-based quotas. Yet, a $95,000 settlement this year for anti-white remarks proves the rot persists. This is what happens when identity politics becomes a religion. Leaders sanctify violence, police play PR games, and the innocent are left bleeding in the streets. Parks' comment, "they begged for it," isn't a slip. It's a symptom of a left that's traded morality for tribalism. Those victims didn't beg. They were hunted in a city where lawlessness is coddled under the guise of progress. Thietke's context excuse is pathetic. The context is a mob turning a night out into a near lynching while bystanders film like it's a reality show. Her department's lawsuit alleging systemic anti-white discrimination paints a grim picture. White officers passed over, careers crushed, all to appease a quota-driven agenda. If a white councilman gloated over a black couple's beating, he'd be crucified by dawn. The media howling for justice. Parks? Silence. She's slipping off to spend time with grandchildren, as if her words didn't just pour gasoline on a city ready to burn. This double standard isn't just hypocrisy. It's the real racism. Green-lighting brutality when the victims are white, while weaponizing victimhood when it suits the narrative. Canada's not immune. We've seen this poison in our own backyard. Christian teachers Matt and Nicole Alexander fired for their faith. Pastor Sean Foyt silenced for worship. Churches fined and protesters lobbing smoke bombs. It's the same playbook. Vilify the other, whether by race or religion, and call it virtue. History's lessons are brutal. Rome collapsed when it swapped virtue for mob rule. The Soviets thrived on pitting groups against each other. Today's social justice is just a shinier cudgel wielded by people like Parks, who think a beating is justified if the skin's the wrong color. Those Cincinnati victims, bloodied and broken, are what happens when you let this ideology fester unchecked. And now the hard truth. We're not just sliding into chaos. We're hurtling toward a reckoning. Parks should be in handcuffs, not a rocking chair. Police Chief Thietke should be fired, not deflecting blame onto ex-users. Every one of those attackers needs a cell, not a court date. But it's bigger than them. This is a war on civilization itself, where leaders cheer mobs, where faith is a crime, where truth is whatever the loudest scream says it is. If we don't fight back now, unapologetically, we're handing our cities, our values, our future to the barbarians. The victims in Cincinnati aren't just bodies on pavement. They're a warning of what awaits when we let hate masquerade as justice. Canada, America, it's the same fight. Let Parks' words be the spark that ignites a rebellion. Not of fists, but of resolve. We either stand for what's right or we kneel to a mob that's already tasting blood. The hour is late. The stakes are eternal. And history will judge us by what we do next. Rise or burn. Canada's Foreign Service, once a proud emblem of our nation's dignity, has been exposed as a cesspool of corruption, and nobody seems to care. Last year, 22 diplomats, trusted stewards of our global reputation, were fired for fraud, theft, embezzlement, and soliciting kickbacks. This according to the Department of Foreign Affairs' own report, and uncovered by our good friends at Blacklock's reporter. No police were called. No names were named. Just a quiet sweep under the rug, as if Canadians won't notice their trust is being pilfered along with their tax dollars. This isn't a glitch in the system, it's a betrayal of everything we stand for, and it's time we face the rot head on. The report, Addressing Misconduct and Wrongdoing at Global Affairs Canada, reads like a rap sheet from a crime syndicate, not a diplomatic corps. Of 218 complaints last year, 125 triggered investigations, and 120 were deemed founded, meaning the evidence was airtight. These weren't minor infractions. We're talking misappropriation of public funds, falsified receipts, fake credentials, and elaborate kickback schemes. One diplomat over 7 years submitted fraudulent claims, pocketing allowances by intentionally misrepresenting and concealing material facts. Another abused their position to orchestrate salary overpayments to local staff abroad, demanding the excess be funneled back to them in a brazen scam. Another colluded with gas station attendants to misuse government fuel cards. These aren't honest mistakes. They're calculated crimes, resulted in financial losses to the department and a gut punch to Canada's integrity. And what's the punishment? Termination for the worst offenders? Sure. But no criminal charges, no public accountability. The department's response is a mealy-mouthed promise to seek reimbursement through legal steps, as if recovering stolen funds absolves the betrayal. Lesser offenses, lying, yelling, showing up drunk, sharing inappropriate videos on government computers or badgering colleagues for loans, earned slaps on the wrist, verbal or written warnings. The report cloaks itself in buzzwords like transparency and inclusive workplace culture, claiming these measures ensure employees feel valued. Valued? Tell that to the taxpayers footing the bill for this circus. This isn't about a few bad apples. It's about a system that stopped caring. The Department of Foreign Affairs oversees 13,000 employees, 7,500 in Canada, and 5,500 across 181 missions in 112 countries. That's a vast network entrusted to represent us, to carry Canada's flag with honor. Instead, we get diplomats who treat public funds like your personal piggy bank, who lie on resumes, who exploit local staff for profit, and when caught, they're quietly shown the door. No handcuffs, no headlines. Compare that to the average Canadian. Try fudging your taxes or shoplifting a coffee and see how fast the law comes knocking. But for our elites, a pat on the head and a promise to foster a healthy workplace. This is where the rot festers. We're not just talking about stolen dollars, we're talking about stolen trust. Canada's diplomatic service should be a beacon of integrity, not a haven for grifters. Yet here we are, with a department that investigates itself, disciplines itself, and assures us everything's fine. No police, no transparency, just a report patting itself on the back for taking complaints seriously. History tells us what happens when institutions shield their own. The Roman Empire crumbled when its elites grew fat on corruption. The French aristocracy fell when their decadence mocked the people's suffering. Today, our bureaucratic class, diplomats included, think it's above the law, untouchable, while Canadians grind to pay for their excess. And don't think it's isolated. Look at our own backyard. Christian teachers like Matt and Nicole Alexander fired for their faith, hounded by school boards for daring to think for themselves. Pastor Sean Foyt silenced for worshiping, with churches fined and protesters lobbing smoke bombs. It's the same disease. Elites who believe they own the moral high ground, who punish dissent and reward corruption. In Cincinnati, a councilwoman cheers a mob's assault on white victims, and her police chief deflects blame onto social media. From Ottawa to Ohio, the pattern is clear. Those in power protect their own, whether it's a diplomat pocketing kickbacks or a politician excusing violence. The rules don't apply to them, only to us. This is the precipice we're on, Canada. Our diplomats' crimes aren't just a scandal. They're a symptom of a nation losing its soul. When those entrusted with our honor steal without consequence, when faith is a firing offense, when mobs are cheered and victims blamed, we're not just slipping towards chaos, we're plunging into an abyss. These 22 fired diplomats should be in court, not collecting pensions. Their names should be public, their crimes exposed, not buried in a sanitized report. If we let this pass, we're complicit in the unraveling of our own country. The hour is late, the stakes are apocalyptic, and the silence of our leaders is a death knell. We either demand justice now, real, raw, unyielding justice, or we watch Canada become a land where honor is a relic and corruption is king. The shadows are closing in. Will we fight or fade into the dark? I'm Richard Serrett. I'll speak with you again real soon. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.
Sie wollen endlich durchstarten und planen den nächsten Investitionsschritt? Dann setzen Sie auf den Sachsenkredit Universal der Sächsischen Aufbaubank. Mit einem Tilgungszuschuss von bis zu 10% für KMU, Existenzgründer, Freiberufler, große privatgeführte Unternehmen sowie Ärzte und Apotheker im ländlichen Raum. Für Investitionen bis zu 20 Millionen Euro. Mit erleichtertem Zugang zur Förderung. Alle Infos online unter sab.sachsen.de/sachsenkredit-universal.